Okay, I want you to look at your neighbor again, eyeball to eyeball. So look at them, you know, like catch their eyes. Come on, guys. Okay? And say to your neighbor, say, neighbor, don't you insult me by calling me a conqueror. And, you know, give them attitude. Just give them attitude. Like, don't insult me by calling me a conqueror. I am not a conqueror. What are you? I am more. Say, I am more. I'm the only one excited about the prospect. I am more than a conqueror. So whatever battles we have, you know, we go into those battles knowing the end. Amen. Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The end picture is that we have the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. And you know, as Christians, sometimes we don't like some things, battles. I don't want a battle. And you know, the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 2015, last year. Hallelujah. In 2 Chronicles 2015, I'll read it. And he said, this is when some enemies, Israelites' enemies, wanted to attack them. And the word of the Lord was spoken. And he said, listen, all of you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. So say to your neighbor, neighbor, the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. So what does this mean? Does it mean we just sit and say the battle is the Lord's, we do nothing? Yes? No. Listen, God will give us a strategy for each battle. Amen. So even here, in this case, where, you know, the word of the Lord was, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Jehoshaphat still had to do something, right? The battle is the Lord's. Amen. The victory is ours. But Jehoshaphat still had to do something. He had to go, he had to march, and then he had to do what? Bible scholars, what did he have to do? Praise. He had to raise up a praise. And when that happened, the Bible records it. That, you know, they had the victory. The enemies were just killing each other. Amen. So go home and read that. Amen. So the battle is the Lord's. But say to your neighbor, say, neighbor, pinch them. I say, neighbor. Because the word says the battle is the Lord's does not mean you do nothing. Amen. There's something for you to do in this battle. Amen. Okay. So the key thing is that God can fight all our battles on our behalf and have us just sleep while he's doing it. But the truth of the matter is God wants us to partake in the miracle that will happen. Amen? He wants us to be a partaker. He wants us to be partners with him. Amen? That's it. It's not that God can't do it. And the truth of the matter is no matter what we do in the battle, God still does it. It's not our strength that wins us the battle. It's the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to go to Joshua chapter 6. And this scripture, it's familiar. It's a very familiar scripture. Joshua chapter 6, we're going to read from verse 1 to 11. And we're all going to read together. Okay, people? So we're reading. Amen. Joshua chapter 6 from verse 1, please. Come on, people. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. Then you shall do 6 days. And seven fish shall bear seven trumpets of rams, horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people should shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Then Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let seven priests bear seven of rams. Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of rams advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark, while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. We're going to jump to verse 20, 20 to 22. We're going to read now. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpet. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And they utterly destroyed all that was in the city, both man and woman, young and old, ox and sheep, and donkey with the edge of the sword. But Joshua said to the two men, and bring out the woman and all that she has. Amen. Hallelujah. So the wall of Jericho came tumbling down. Amen. Okay. So this year of conquest, hallelujah, we have a battle. I just want us to look at a few things that happened here. Verse 1 said, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. Amen. So when we have a battle in front of us, we have a battle. Okay? It's clear. Sometimes as believers, what we want to do is we want to live in denial. It's not there. We don't have a battle. I confess the word. We don't know. We do have a battle in front of us. Amen? So he says, now the wall of Jericho was shut up. That is the situation. Okay? It could be the battle could be it could be sickness. That is the situation. That is the battle right in front of me. Yes, I'm not going to be in denial about it. I'm not going to be intimidated by the situation. I'm not going to be afraid of the situation. I'm not going to be. It might be redundancy. It might be homelessness. It might be something to do with your children. Whatever it is, what we need to first of all do is acknowledge that we have a situation here. Amen? We have a situation. This is it. So the wall of Jericho, this is it. It's this high, it's big, right? Okay? But verse 2 says, and the Lord said to Joshua, what did he say? And the Lord said to Joshua, come on, people. No. Hold on. And the Lord said to Joshua, see here, what does he have in front of it? So say it again. And the Lord said to Joshua, exclamation mark. First of all, see. See. Open your eyes and see. Okay? See. And what does it say? It says, I have given Jericho into your land. I have given it into your land. But what did verse 1 say? The verse 1 said Jericho was shut up. Wall of Jericho was there. But the Lord is saying, see. I have given Jericho into your hand. I have given it to you. You have the victory. The revelation of the Lord and the reality, did it match? No. But you know what? We need to see with our eyes of faith. So slap your neighbor and say, open your eyes and see. Tell them, say, see beyond the wall. Amen. Because the truth is, the wall is there, is high. But the Lord said, see, I have given Jericho into your hand. I have. If you can see it, you can have it. Amen. Amen. The Lord said to Abraham, he said, take a walk. See. Look. He was childless. So if you can count the stars in the sky, I will make your descendants as numerous. See. Amen. Open your eyes and see. Amen. And you know what? Our God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the God who knows the end from the beginning. He said it. It doesn't matter if our reality matches the revelation. God says, see. So open your eyes and see. Amen. And then also, God said it in the past tense. He said, I have given Jericho into your hand. They hadn't even gone into Jericho. They hadn't gone near Jericho. And he said, I have given Jericho into your hand. I want you to take 1 second right now. Whatever your wall of Jericho is right now, see it. See it and just hear the word of the Lord concerning that situation saying, I have given Jericho into your hand. Amen. So whatever it is, see and trust. He said it. It's a done deal. Amen. The Bible says his word will not return unto him void. Isaiah 55:11. Once he said it, it's done. Hallelujah. But listen, there's so many promises in the Bible, right? Every promise in the Bible is what? Is mine. Because it's mine, does it mean I'm walking in it just yet? Answer. It's not a trick question. No. We claim it. And then we have to make sure it happens. Amen? Amen. So see, I have given it. Okay. Come with me now. And it says here. Past tense, I have given it. So the next thing you want to do is you've seen the wall. It's there. Refuse to be intimidated by that wall. Refuse to be afraid. Refuse. I'm going to ask some strong men to come forward. Uncle David, come. Junior, I saw you earlier. Uncle Yinka, come. Just come quick, please. So these mighty men are going to represent the wall of Jericho. Yinka, please come. Yemi, please come. No, you're going to kind of... Yeah, okay, let's face this way. Yemi, come. Just line up and face this way. Face the congregation. Please stay. Straight line. This way. Okay. So this is the wall of Jericho. Is it high? Yes. It's very high. This is you. Right here. Okay, you. Here. What's on the other side of the wall of Jericho? It's your breakthrough, right? It's right here. Can you see what's on the other end? No. Because little you here, looking up, all you can see, the wall of Jericho. Amen? The wall of Jericho is high. You can't see this. You can't see your breakthrough. You can't see the promised land. You can't see Canaan. And if we're not careful, right, what the enemy gets us to focus on is this high wall. All we can see is this wall. Lord, this ain't going to happen. How am I going? And then we think and then we say. Okay? What the Lord wants us to do is for us to not just look up there. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:6 that we're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. So if you're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, who is taller than all these guys? Pop with my heels. You're up there. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You're up there from the ceiling. You have a bird's eye view of the situation. So you're not looking from down here. You're looking from up there. And if you're looking from up there, you are so higher than the wall of Jericho. Amen? Think about it. If you're looking from up there, the wall of Jericho looks teeny weeny. Amen? We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Please take a seat. Also remember, you and God are a majority. Amen. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You know, so if God is for me, who can be against me? No matter how high that wall of Jericho is going to come down, not because I got the power. No, because I have God with me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Numbers 23:19, that God is not a man that you should lie. Son of man that you would repent. Has he not said it? Will he not make it good? So the next thing is, you got the wall of Jericho. You can see it is high up. The next thing you need to get is verse 2. What is the word of God concerning that situation? What is the word God's giving you? Sickness, Isaiah 53:5. By his stripes I'm healed. Financial lack, God shall supply all my needs. Philippians 4:19. I mean, like, roll them out. You need a word to stand on. That word is the only thing that cannot fail. You stand on it. It cannot fail. It will not move. And his word cannot return unto him void. The Bible says he has exalted his word above his name. So what is the word? Amen? What is God's word concerning your situation? And then verse 3. So that's verse 2. Verse 3 says, he goes on to say, you shall march around the city. The next thing you now need to get for this battle is clear-cut instructions. What is God asking you to do? You got the word? What's he asking you to do? He told them, march around the city. Specific instructions. Isaiah 30:21 says, you will hear the voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. What are the instructions you've gotten concerning this battle that is in front of you? And listen, it's important to hear what instructions are. But sometimes as believers, we hear the instructions, but then we have a plan B. Say to your neighbor, get rid of plan B. Say, neighbor, I love you, and I want you to get your breakthrough this year. So slap them and say, get rid of plan B. Say, get rid of plan B. Say to them, say, neighbor, only plan A. Stick to plan A. The instructions of the Lord. Amen. So we got the instructions, right? What do we do with the instructions? We follow them. We follow the instructions. Some of us, we do all step 1, 2, 3. We got the instructions, and then we do not follow. Amen. We need to follow. Sorry, guys. Pinch your neighbor and say, neighbor, follow instructions. Follow. Listen, if you are a mom, right, and your child, you know, you can't hit, you can't smack. So when your child is kind of misbehaving in a public place, you quietly just pinch them. And they behave, right? No one knows why they're. So pinch your neighbor quietly and say, follow instructions, follow instructions. The instruction was, go around the wall of Jericho. What? How many times? 7 times? Did they go around the wall of Jericho 7 times? Did they not answer me, people? How many times did they go around the wall of Jericho? No, they didn't go around the wall of Jericho 7 times. talk, you can't talk. Oh, yeah, you got it. Come on.
13 times.
Up. We got a mathematician in the house. Remember, the first day, the first 6 days, once, six times. And then the 7 day, seven times. 6 plus 7? Fabulous. Listen, what if they had decided, you know what? I'm going to walk around this wall of Jericho. They won, yes. But then they do it 7 times, like you said. Did the Lord say 7 times?
No.
What if on the 6th day, imagine they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. They want to get into the promised land. And they're thinking we're just going to go and slay people and chop off their heads and, you know, whatever. And Joshua is giving them instructions, walk. What if they thought, this strategy ain't working? 5th day, they do it. Because you know what? God didn't even, you know, if maybe by the 3rd day, they saw some parts of the world falling down. Then they go, yeah, we're in the right place. Listen. Are you going to continue following God's instructions even when it seems like you're not making progress? Even if it seems like it's not happening the way you think it will happen? Will you follow the instructions? Because there are times when we get to that stage and we think, maybe I didn't hear from the Lord. I need another word. And listen to what happens then. We go back to God for another word. And what happens? Does God speak? No, he doesn't, because he gave you a word already. Some of you here, God's given you a word already. What have you done with the word? You're waiting for new instructions. Tell you the truth, new instructions ain't coming. Because he gave you a word already. Sat-nav, it will tell you, keep driving on not circular road for the next 30 miles. You keep going, and you're waiting for the lady or to say turn right, turn left. And at times when I'm checking, like, am I on the right path? I'm on the right path. It's not saying anything new to me because there's nothing new to say. Yeah? It's not time to take a turn. It's not time to turn left. It's not time to whatever. It's just keep going. Sorry. Hit your neighbor. Say, keep going. Tell them, oh, come on now. I can do it to Anthony because I love him so much. Yeah. No. We're going to help each other. Year of conquest. You know, tell your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I'm going to drag you into your blessings, whether you like it or not. So tell them, keep going. You guys are too nice. I said hit. Some of you want to hit. My husband is not here. Normally I hit. So keep going. Because the start knife is not going to turn you turn left, turn right, do a detour. You're on the right track. Say to your neighbor, you're on the right track. So keep going. Don't get distracted. Keep going. Amen. So keep going. Some of us, so we think, okay, we go back to God. But some of us, what happens to us is, on the 6th day, we get tired. I'm not hitting you, it's okay. We get tired. Because we're thinking we've walked around this wall of Jericho 6 days. Because Joshua, I think I have nothing better to do with my time. Come out and be walking around Jericho. What? And then you give up. You are so close to your breakthrough. You are so close to your breakthrough. Say, look at them eyeball to eyeball and say, neighbor, hold on. Keep going. You are so close to your breakthrough. You're so close. Don't give up. You're almost there. The fact that even the 6th day, some parts of the world did not fall down. Some people would have come out on the seventh day. March, pa, pa, pa. First match, second match, third match. Some people, the seventh day, the sixth match, they give up. They've gone all the way to the seventh day. And they give up. Because if God's going to do something, he would have done something by now. Cha! If God is going, hold on to God. Just do this now. Do this. Hold on to God. Say to your neighbor, I am holding on to God. Because I know that his word will not fail. Amen. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember Peter. Right? Peter. He said to the Lord, Lord, if that is you, bid me to come. Remember? Yes. What did the Lord say? The Lord said, come. Some of us, the Lord has said, come. Come. He said it in English, said it in Spanish, said it in Swahili, said it in every, he's done sign language. He's, come, come, come. But we're still waiting to hear some more. Because we need to confirm. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a matter be established. You have had 20 witnesses. Get up. Amen. Bid me to come. I like Peter. Peter was forward. Peter. What he did was, bid me to come. Pa, pa, pa. He started walking on water. I was saying to my ladies the other day, if I was James or John, we're all on the boat, eh? Peter was the one who was forward enough to say, bid me to come. And Peter is getting up and running. I will look at Peter. Only you want to get blessed. Me too. Bah, bah, bah. I will get up and walk on water. Amen. So let me tell you something. There are times when, you know, God is speaking to someone like, you know, they're getting a prophetic order. Jump in. Because imagine if James and John too had said, bring me to come. Peter is gone. I'm going to. Bah, bah, bah. Do you think Jesus would have said, James and John, I didn't ask you to come. Can you go back and sit in the boat? No. Amen. All can get in. Amen. God is saying, come. You've heard the word. Get up and go. Say to your neighbor, get up and go. No, that was not aggressive enough. Say, oh, come on now. Saint Peter. Remember, Peter had tried to catch fish all night, toiled all night, right? He caught nothing. And then Jesus said, Peter, throw in your net for a catch. You know, we get stuck there sometimes because we've tried and we've tried and we've tried and it hasn't happened. And then the Lord says to us, try again one more time. Kick your neighbor and say, try again. Kick. Kick, kick, kick. Say to your neighbor, try again one more time. Peter said it. Peter said, like, Lord, I'm a fisherman. I know how these things work. The fish, they've all gone home to sleep. There is no fish today to catch. But Peter said, okay, we've told them, like, caught nothing. But at your word. Amen? But at your word. And he obeyed. And then he caught such a huge amount of fish. You know, his net started breaking. Amen? Hallelujah. So sometimes the instructions of the Lord will make no sense. It will look ridiculous. We need to just obey. Amen? So say to your neighbor, just obey. Okay, I'm going to jump to verse 10 now. Verse 10, he says, now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. He said, you shall not shout.
Right? He also said, not a word should proceed out of your mouth. Why? Because you know what? Joshua had had a bit of history with the children of Israel. When they were meant to go spy out the land, 12 of them went. Only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. The other 10 came back with bad reports. They used their mouths to get themselves out of the promised land. So Joshua was thinking, tell these people to zip their mouths. Because sometimes it takes one person who has no faith. It takes one person who is a doubter, who will say some negative stuff, and it will just rub off on people. So he said, shut your mouth. Say nothing. Just in case, zip it. And you know what? He knew, you're going to be going around this mountain, well, 6 days. Nothing's going to happen until the seventh day. He didn't want anyone talking. So sometimes when, you know, God's given us an instruction or whatever, and we don't understand what's going on, we don't get it. We think it's not working out the way it should be working out. We just, if you don't know, shut up. Tell your neighbor in a very polite manner, neighbor, shut up. No, that was not polite. Tell them politely. Shut up. Because we can use our mouths. The Bible says there's power of death and life in the tongue. We can use our mouths to get ourselves out of the promised land. Amen? Remember my first labor, my son. The pain was so beautiful that at one point, I just felt that if I talk, I'd add to the pain. So the only thing that could come out of my mouth, you know, sometimes it's good to be oversaved. Say to your neighbor, be oversaved, it's better. All I could do was speak in tongues. You know, the contraction will come. I go, show neighbor, go start. I want to neighbor, yeah. And then it will go, it will come back and go, go neighbor, start. The midwife was talking to me. I was not responding because I was in such beautiful pain. I was going to push out some handsome, gorgeous son. Listen, shut up or speak in tongues. If you don't know what's going on, shut up or speak in tongues. Shut or speak in tongues. Because when you speak in tongues, you're speaking mysteries unto God. And then also sometimes we're not speaking it by our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive. Take it captive. So your thoughts, if they're going this way, don't let your thoughts pull you that way. If God is saying good this way, take that thought captive in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Kelebo site. And the Bible says, Job 22:28, you shall declare a thing and it shall be established for you. So, another thing I've started doing this year is my mouth and the things that I think. I laughed my head off. Really? Just say, anytime you say something and you're not sure whether it's negative or not negative, just say, and that's exactly how I want it to be. Try it. I laughed my head off. And that's exactly how I want it to be. Really? No. So you would watch what you're going to say. My legs are killing me. And that's exactly how I want it to be. Really? No. So try that anytime you say something, you think, I'm not sure. Or sometimes we even know that what we said is negative. Add that phrase to it, and it will change your confession. And even when you're thinking thoughts as well, just think, I'm thinking this. Oh, I think I'm going to be ill. And that's exactly how I want it to be. Really? No. So use that. Amen? Amen? That is a free tool. No payment needed. Hallelujah. Amen. Key thing. Verse 20. Verse 20 here says, so the people shouted with a priest, blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So what did the people use to pull the wall down? With their voice, they shouted. Listen, the Lord is saying to someone here, use what you have. In this battle, you have what you need to overcome. You have it. Don't think you don't have it. You have it. Use what you have. They use their voice. They march around. They use their legs. Use what you have. Sometimes what happens is we look at ourselves and we think, I got nothing. That is a lie from the pit of hell. So if you think, I got nothing, say, and that's exactly how I want it to be. And you think, oh, no, I don't want it. Amen? So use what you have. Amen? Use what you have. We think that if we start with one, we'll be stuck with one. Remember the parable of the talents. The guy who had two used it, and what happened? He doubled it. Four, five did what? Turned to ten. The person who had one. So just imagine, I have one talent. Let me come, please. You have. This is the guy who has more. Sometimes you think, oh my God, if I could just sing like Yemi, I will bring the world down. I know Yemi's voice is like mine, off key, no key, flat key. But you know what? The Lord says, make a joyful noise with your flat key self. It doesn't matter. Make a joyful noise. Don't go. I'm not finished. It doesn't matter. So imagine Yemi has five talents. I have one. So Yemi has more, right? Five times more than me. But Yemi now decides that he's not going to do anything with five talents. I choose to do mine with my one talent, my off-key self. Right? The law of compounded interest will take effect. One, my one, will become two. Two, four. Four, eight, 16, 32, 64, 128. 256, 512, 1,024. On the 10th leap, I'm already into my 1,000. Yemi is here with five. He hasn't used what he has. So whatever you have, when you're faithful with little, God gives you much. So when you're battle, use what you have. Thank you. Say to your neighbor, use what you have. You push them. Use what you have. Sorry, I'm good. Use what you have. No. You guys do not get excited about it. Use what you have. Amen. I'll share a testimony and I'm done. My father got saved. After 28 years, okay? You know, Psalms 126 says, when the Lord released the captives of Israel, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongue with songs of joy. They said it amongst the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. And we said it, the Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Jesus is Lord. Amen. All my enemies. Hallelujah. So listen, don't get distracted by the shoe. Don't. See, that wall of Jericho was falling down. It's not meant to fall down. Amen. Listen to what happened. My father was so hostile to the gospel, I didn't think I could share with him. I'd prayed, Lord, send an angel. Angel Gabriel, all the angel Michael, send them. When he came, I thought, okay, my friend's husband decided he would lead him to the Lord. He started ministering to him, and then his wife became ill, was in a coma, she died, so he kind of retired. And I kept on thinking, it's time. And I remember June would say, share the gospel with your father. I'm thinking, you don't know my father. I cannot share the gospel. I could share with the gospel with anyone else, but not my father. The day he got saved, I was so like, my heart. I thought, I didn't want him thinking, because he's in my house, I was imposing my religion on him. I sat, he was ill again because he had been ill. I sat next to him. I knew God wanted me to do it because there was no one else. So God will want you to do, God won't get you to do what you cannot do. Amen. I sat next to him. I said, Dad. Mm-hmm. I said, you've tried so many doctors. Why don't you try Jesus? He said, yes, I'll try Jesus. I thought, he didn't hear me. He said, Dad,
yeah?
You have to accept Jesus.
He said,
I'll accept Jesus. I thought, he didn't hear what I said. Third time, I said, Dad, You have to pray to accept Jesus. He said, you pray, I will follow you. You know, it was so easy. And then I thought, he prayed salvation prayer. And I thought, oh, please sit. He was so ill at one time that he became delirious. Everything that happened in that time, he forgot. He didn't know he happened. So I thought, oh, maybe he's a bit delirious. He doesn't know what he's done. I ran upstairs to my husband. I said, Trish, get us out. Dad got saved. I thought, yeah. He said nothing. He just gave me some look. I was like, what am I doing? I ran back down. So I said, Dad, I want to pray with you. Can I bring the Bible? He said, yes, bring the Bible. I brought the Bible. I prayed. I laid hands on his head, prayed for healing. He got healed. Went back upstairs. I said, I think when my husband saw me taking the Bible down, says he knew something had happened. So I said to him, I said, look, when you go downstairs to my father, tell him I said he accepted Jesus so that I know that he did it, that he was in his, you know, that was for me. And so Toki went in and then came out of the room, and then I went in to see my dad after about 2 hours. And he had said I could give him a Bible. I put the Bible there. So he said, so where is that prayer book again? I said, it's over. He said, oh, yeah, I will read it by my glasses. And he said, I accepted Jesus. Oh, my God, Dad. Oh, like, that was when I thought, he knows what he's done. He's not delirious. I'm not delirious. I'm not making this up. I thought, wow, he accept. But you know, when the wall of Jericho comes down, he comes down. God does it. And listen, when it happened was a few days after, a few other things happened. The Lord just said to me, go and calculate the dates. My father came to my house on the 11th of January. He got saved on the 19th of April. Thinking, what date? Go calculate. When I did, my dad got saved on the 100th day of him getting into my house. And the Lord said, I had planned and purposed that on the 100th day, he would get saved. It took 100 days of me laboring in love and just being a daughter. 100 days. Amen. Hallelujah. So God can do the impossible. Amen. God can, I mean, God has done so much. I mean, testimony is major. But listen, back to this. Some of us are so focused on what will happen when we get into Jericho, our promised land, that we're not even doing what we need to do now. He's a now God. Okay? And God is a God of order. He orders our steps. Okay? So, what are we meant to do now to get into the wall of Jericho? Can I also ask you, what brought the wall of Jericho down? Who knows? Does anybody know? Come on, tell me. It's not a trick question. Is the praise? Okay, please go to Hebrews 11:30. That's my very last scripture. Hebrews 11:30, please. Hallelujah. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, God has given everyone a measure of faith. We all have. So don't despise what you have. Just today, just think, I've got a wall in front of me. And I have what it takes in the name of Jesus. I have what it takes in Jesus' name. I have what it takes in Jesus' name. Amen. So everyone, please rise to your feet. You know, they gave out a shout. Listen, there are times when we need to be really dignified. Right? Well, you know what? You can't shout and be dignified. It's impossible. Just imagine, shout. No. When you shout, you open your mouth. Hallelujah! Okay. Amen. So what I want you to do is picture that wall of Jericho. For some people, it's sickness. For some people, it's finances. For some people, it's marital issues. For some people, it's your children. For some people, it's something. There is always something. And the root of the matter is, he teaches us to war
For as long as we're here, we're going to face battles. But we are more than conquerors. So right now, begin to picture that wall of Jericho in the name of Jesus. And I want you to let out a big shout of hallelujah. Wait, we count 1, 2, 3. And imagine that wall coming down. And just imagine the Lord saying, how much you shout is how much your wall is going to come down. How many people will shout loud? A shout of victory, a shout of praise. So we're going to shout Jesus. Amen. Because, you know, the name of Jesus is above every name. No matter what that wall is, the name of Jesus is above that wall. So picture it. See it right now. In Jesus' name. And imagine yourself seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we're going to shout out Jesus. And we're going to really shout. Amen. And we're going to imagine the wall of Jericho come tumbling down in Jesus' name. This is not the time to be dignified. Amen.